Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Cats in five! That's our top headline.
Woo!
We're going to talk, break all things down with the Panthers win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com. Going to stop by the show in about 10 minutes. We will talk about that beautiful Game 5 performance yesterday, where Etu Lostarainen and that line with Brad Marchand. Welcome to the Cats. Oh, my God. Bill Zito, you rascal.
You think it was a matter of them just tweaking and finding the right combination?
I think it's a good line for him, too, because I think both those... Here's the thing with the Finns. The Finns, they like to make you fit in, you know? I'm not doing a rhyme thing there. It's just like that's how they play. They play the right way, and I just think those are two guys. Like, you're there, you let Brad Marchand be Brad Marchand, do his thing, and every once in a while, you gotta rat it up a little bit. You put him with Benny, you put him with Tkachuk. Okay, we'll do it to change the pace of a game, but I love putting him with those guys. And I love having a guy with his experience. You know, Lundy's young, but he can learn a couple new things with him.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I just feel like it's fit well together. So it was very nice. We'll talk more about it coming up in just a few minutes with Jameson Olive from Florida Panthers.
You think he would like my voice?
Would he like what?
Would he like my voice?
Which one is that? Your give us your gentleman sweep voice.
Cuts in five.
Is that?
You think he'd like that?
She's gonna tell us like the special Stromboli.
Yeah.
Like, look at the cuts in five.
Hey,
when was the last time you ate anything Italian?
Yesterday.
Which have?
Pasta.
Can you give us your favorite drink in old timey voice?
Yes, I'd like a whiskey.
This is so bad at this bit.
A whiskey, Jennifer.
Oh,
would you like
sour.
That neat or on the rocks?
Neat.
Oh, God.
Preferably chilled.
She can't even hold it anymore.
I can't.
Chilled?
She's just giving us an order.
What's the difference between chilled and putting it on ice?
Ice melts.
Yeah, because when you chill,
that's how you drink it. That's how I like drinking whiskey.
I don't like
that. With the getting a little watery. I like it. I like that too.
Yeah.
With a big cube.
No. Yeah.
Ooh.
Big cube.
Bates says, why does her voice get all smoky?
It's the whiskey.
Oh, man. NBA last night, you had the Lakers get bounced 103-96. And if you can believe it, Rudy Gobert.
I can't believe it.
27 points,
wow.
24 rebounds.
Jeez.
JJ Barea. I mean, JJ Redick. Excuse me. That seems like LeBron's legacy has been ruined now by two JJs.
Two different JJs.
JJ Barea and JJ Redick. LeBron James bounced. And there you go. Gentleman sweep. Anthony Edwards. He's good.
He is.
Ooh. Somebody said one of the Thompson twins on the Heat would be amazing. They're both way too good for those teams to get rid of them.
Oh,
and too young. No chance.
Yeah, they are both very good.
You see Anthony Edwards take a victory lap around crypto.com.
What did he say?
He was just walking around afterwards talking about how he just sent everyone packing. And there was, you know, Lakers fans just like hovering around him. And he's like, I don't know why you guys are being mean. I just sent y'all home. Why are you still?
Yeah, like, leave.
Go.
Leave. Julius Randle played well, too.
Yeah. Man, a month ago, I didn't even know he was even on the,
Timberwolves.
Timberwolves.
You think Cat got to the Knicks?
Oh, that's right.
So you had that last night. And
are you okay?
Yeah, just choked up. The Rockets smoked the Warriors 131-116. A little danger there in the fourth quarter, but they pretty much hammered them yesterday.
Hammered them. They scored 76 points in the first half.
Jeez.
Draymond couldn't do nothing.
Well,
no, he says he's there for defense and, you know, toughness. Yeah. 76 points ain't tough.
Jimmy last night, 8 points, 2 for 10.
Yeah, that's how Jimmy does it.
Are we analyzing Steph Curry's hand?
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. What is going on?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. People are saying that his he's been playing with a thing on his like wrist. But yeah, people are saying his thumb's really messed up.
Looks like my foot.
No, it doesn't.
Oh man, your foot's looking gross.
Oh, that little knot on his thumb.
Tonight we got Knicks and Pistons. That series is 3-2 New York.
Welcome to the club, Steph.
Look. And then
that's we'll what see I if, had before they fixed it.
We'll see if James Harden doesn't James Harden tonight. Game 6 of the Nuggets and Clippers tonight.
Now, who has more of a chance to go into 7 games? The Houston or the Clippers? Because Denver's up 3-2, right?
No. Denver's up 3-2, yes.
Oh, Denver's up?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Denver's up 3-2.
If you had to pick one team and you say...
To close out?
No, not close out.
To make it to 7.
Oh, to make it to 7.
Yeah.
So Houston, no experience. Clippers but having experience, James Harden.
They play, the basketball that they play doesn't require experience. They just play hard and physical.
I feel like the Clippers have enough talent to get it to 7. They have a pretty good team in spite of having the choke artist.
Okay. All right, I do.
Like, they got Kawhi. Zubac has been amazing. Norman Powell. Like, they got a lot of talent
Zubac
on that team.
Zubac has been way better than I thought he was. I thought he was just like... Adams.
I want to get Khalil Ware on steroids. I need to up this process quickly.
Yeah.
All these 7 voters are dominating right now.
What about, like, when Houston puts in the two big boys?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And then Detroit will try and keep this series. It is in Detroit tonight. They'll try and send it back to MSG. God, if they lose it.
Nothing is funnier than seeing Draymond hang on the back of one of those big dudes, right?
We'll take a break. We'll get back into the Cats here. James Nall, FloridaPanthers.com. He joins us next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. We'll take you up until 2 here on the program. It's Top Hats and Monocles. It's a cat soiree here today.
Yeah.
As the Panthers eliminate the Tampa Bay Lightning in 5 with their win yesterday. Let's talk about it right now. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com there from FloridaPanthers.com. Jameson Olive joining us here on the program. Jameson, thanks for joining us again, man. Thank you so much and appreciate you stopping by.
Anytime. Love coming on the show, guys.
What did you make of yesterday? They put the hammer down on him. It was a very exciting back and forth affair, but that third period, it felt like they just kind of took the life out of Tampa Bay. A lot of great performances. What was the one that stood out to you the most yesterday?
There's a lot to get to. Obviously, I think it was impressive. The Panthers, for the first time in the series, went down 1-0, but stuck with it, came back right away, got the lead soon after. But you look at, to me, more than anything, it's the third line. It's Atul Ostarainen, Anton Lundell, Brad Marchand. In the series, the Panthers led 4-0 in goals when they were on the ice, and you saw why in that game 5. They were absolutely dominant. Just Brad Marchand was slicing and dicing through the defense. Atul Ostarainen was getting all the helpers. 4 points, only the fourth Panther to ever do that in a playoff game. First one to ever do it in a series clinching game. And then Anton Lundell just winning all the key faceoffs, getting some big moments, big points, goals, assists. So there's a lot of different reasons the Panthers won this series and specifically that game. But I think the biggest X factor was that third line, which is just a matchup nightmare for teams that aren't as deep as the Panthers are.
What do you make of that, too? Because it's like, I feel like we joke, it's like Florida's little Finland. It's like they got this quadrant of great players, but I feel like he is almost the most underrated out of all of them, because obviously you got Barkov, baby Barky with Lundell, Mikkola is going to kill anybody because he's a monster, but that dude just kind of seems like he does a little bit of everything. He shows up with the big plays. So like when you watch him for the fans who are just getting into it with the playoffs, what is the things that just make him special?
He's Mr. Under the Radar. He's soft-spoken. If you get him off to the side, he's great. He can talk forever. But on camera, of course, he's pretty short. But he's the man. He's an absolute dog. This team loves to forecheck, and he's an elite forechecker. He started out his career as a center, got shifted to the wing. You know, was on the fourth line when Paul Maurice got here. He gets bumped up to the third. He's even played a bit in the top six. But for the most part, he's on that third line with Anton Lundell because their chemistry is so good and has grown so much over the years. But he's incredible, and he comes up big in the playoffs. He's a playoff performer. We don't talk about that enough. You go back 2 years ago, that first round upset over Boston, game 6, Atul Ostarainen has the game-winning goal. And I dove into it a bit this morning. So I'm like, man, when I think about the playoffs the last couple of years, I actually think about Etu quite a bit. He's 10th all-time in playoff games played for the Panthers. And he's 11th in points, 7th in plus-minus. Like, he's not Barkov, Verhaeghe, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, those guys, but he's right there. He's that next tier. He's just a consistent playoff performer for the Cats. And you need those guys. You can't just win with your top stars. Especially in the playoffs, top stars, as we saw with guys like Nikita Kucherov and Brayden Point, they can be, you know, taken out of series. You need your depth guys to step up, and for year over year, it's been Etu for the Cats, just doing a great job.
It was amazing to me. Should we be giving Paul Maurice more credit for being able to find the right combinations? Because when you see, like, I'll use the Heat as an example. Sometimes, you know, Spo does better when there's less, like when his rotation is only 7 or 8. Whereas you look at Paul Maurice, the way he puts these guys together, it always seems to work. You very rarely hear a situation where you say those guys shouldn't be playing on that line together.
You know, it's Paul Maurice, it's Bill Zito, it's them working in tandem. It's the entire hockey ops team here. The Panthers, more than anything these last couple of years, have been so good at identifying fit. there's so many players that maybe wouldn't succeed elsewhere or weren't succeeding elsewhere that the Panthers immediately pointed to and said, that guy, he's just in the wrong place. They're asking him to do the wrong stuff. We know that when we bring him here, he's going to fit right away. You look at Seth Jones in particular, was getting, you know, just piled on in Chicago. He was getting a lot of heat there. He comes to the Panthers. He fits perfectly. He's been so good on the back end for these guys. And you can say the same about guys like Carter Verhaeghe, who they, you know, took out of the rubble heap there in Tampa. He wasn't getting playing time. And now he's an all-timer here with the Cats. So over the years, that's what they've done. Yes, they have some big stars. Yes, they made splashy trades for guys like Matthew Tkachuk. But they've also just found guys that were maybe underappreciated, underutilized elsewhere and brought them in. And then once they do get here, Paul Maurice just knows how to work them. He knows how to coach them up. Talking to the guys, one of the biggest things Paul Maurice does that, you know, multiple players have told me is he just gets in their head in the best kind of way. So many guys, especially in the playoffs and in these big moments, can stress and, you know, be worried and get caught up in their own heads. And they say Paul Maurice will come over during a practice, you know, pull you over on the ice, talk to you, and immediately what you had in there is gone, and whatever he said is now in there. He's right. Able to get in your head like that and put in the thoughts he wants. So he's a player's coach, and we talked about, you know, Tobin was saying this team, you know, closing out teams in the third period like they did in game five. Since Paul Maurice got here, this team is 22-0 when leading after two periods in the playoffs.
Good God.
They are a shutdown team. Mm. They closed the door. Yes, that's the players, but when it's that lopsided, the stat is that, you know, glaring, you have to give a lot of credit to the coaching staff and Paul Maurice as well.
Last night we had another all-time from Bob. I saw your tweet today, putting it next to the Bobbery. Like, what your reaction as that's going on? Because I continue to be floored what this guy can do on the ice, and it's now being added, of course. Like, you bring in his age and what he's able to do, but it's insane, man. It feels like every series he's got one where you're just like shaking your head. You're like, I can't believe that he came up with that.
Yeah, and that's what you need in the playoffs. Each goaltender has to make, you know, three or four spectacular saves. And, you know, Andrei Vasilevsky is one of the greatest of all time. He's a Hall of Famer just like Bob. But Bob made one or two more bigger saves than he did in that series. And that one on Gonsalves in the second period, the Bobbery 2.0, that was it. That was a game changer. The Panthers had a one-goal lead at that time. And it really kind of took the air out of the building and brought all that energy right to the Panthers bench. Sam Bennett told me after the game, like, that was like a lightning bolt for those guys. To see your goaltender do that, not only does it keep a goal off the board, but it makes you say, man, Bob's in the zone. If we just keep up our end of the bargain tonight, like, we're going to win this game. So he's been so good. And you look at his career trajectory. Obviously, when he got here to the Panthers, he was a two-time Vezina winner, one of the best in the league. But his first couple years with the Cats didn't quite go well. And you remember, you know, that run to the final against Vegas. He started that, you know, playoff run on the bench. Alex Lyon was starting. And then he gets back in that series against Boston, and he's never looked back. He's right. You know, just been elite ever since. So the mental fortitude, you have to have that to be a goaltender. But for Bob to kind of have that mental fortitude to kind of, you know, be on the top of the mountain, go back down all the way to the bottom, and then climb all the way back up in a short period of time, has just been so impressive. And he's just on another planet in the playoffs, like you said, and just gives us those kind of moments that take your breath away.
Well, it's also kind of crazy because it's like, you go back to the Seth Jones thing that you're talking about, and a lot of Panthers fans are wondering, like, there was a lot of love from the fan base of Spencer Knight and what he was going to be and be kind of the heir apparent. And that's such a trust from the organization to be like, nah, even at Bob's age, we think like this isn't going anywhere. And he doesn't look what he is. It's pretty nuts to feel like they would have that kind of faith in him. But I mean, you know what a psycho worker he is. So I guess that makes sense. But he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all, Jameson.
No, Paul Maurice said he's in his prime, and he's 36 years old, and he's played, you know, 750 plus games in the NHL. But no, it's all about the routine for him. It's insane the work he puts in. You hear about it, you hear players talk about it, but just he lives and breathes hockey. It's all he does, especially on game days. I mean, you'll be walking through an arena, and you'll hear like clank, clank, and you'll look down the hallway, and Bob's just deadlifting, and like he's starting tonight, and he's just over there just putting in a huge lift, a huge workout here after morning skate. So all that he does is work and focus on his craft. And it's why he's gotten so good. And he's not putting up the same save percentages he used to, but that's because also the Panthers are playing a different game. They're only asking him to make, you know, four or five big saves a game. He's doing it for these guys. He's doing just enough. He's still elite at his age. And, you know, he's a guy where, you know, goaltenders age well in the NHL. You have some goaltenders that play well into their early 40s that have still gotten the job done. And 36 years old, it's not crazy to think Bob has four or five good years left in him, just given how good he is and the commitment he has to his craft.
How was your impressions of Brad Marchand? First playoff series, it really looks like he's rounding into form. As the series even went on, it felt like he got more comfortable. But his first playoff series with the Panthers, what did you make of it?
Oh, just absolute dog. Fits right in. Loves the Panthers. Loves the locker room. He was talking about, you don't respect what the Panthers do until you get a part of it. Because obviously the Panthers, the way they attack you, they come in waves, they rough you up. You really don't fully understand it. You just think, oh, they're being physical. Oh, they're just deep. But then once you get in the locker room, you see how they work and you kind of see how the food is made. He's like, man, there's something really special here. And these guys kind of do have that secret sauce. And he fits right in for a guy like him that's been top line pretty much his whole career to come in, immediately say, okay, I'll play on the third line with these two young upstart Finnish guys that are great and accept that role and be so good at it. You know, he's not on the top power play unit. He's just here to win. And he's, you know, let's not forget, he's won one Stanley Cup, but that was his second year in the league. That was 13 years ago. Jeez. He's hungry. Yeah. Like, he wants another one. It's been a long time.
Were you?
And so, what was that?
No, I was saying, were you surprised at all, Jameson? Because, like, the experts, you guys tweeted it out yesterday, like, so many people picking against the Panthers. Like, it kind of blew my mind a little bit. Like, I know I'm not on the national landscape as much with the national hockey perspective, but I was like, you did? You guys all picked the Lightning to win this series? I found that kind of crazy to see. Not that some picked. Overwhelmingly, it was picking against the Cats.
Oh, I got the numbers. I got the receipts. I wasn't. No, if you would just go off the pre-series predictions, you'd think this was the greatest upset of all time. Like, it's right. The Panthers didn't even deserve to be there. Yeah, Sportsnet, 16 of 18 writers picked the Lightning. ESPN, 20 of 26. Athletic, 80%+. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a defending champion get disrespected quite like that.
That's my thing. Because in football, we said, hey, I don't care how good Philadelphia is, right? I'm going with Kansas City because they're the champs. And like, you do this in every other sport, right? And in hockey, the first series, they're like, hey. And so I wonder what they're going to say now, because they beat them up pretty good. It wasn't even close.
No, and I think that hurt the Lightning, because the worst thing that you can do for the Panthers is give them a chip. This is a team that loves to be the underdog. I mean, they could be up in a series, and Matthew Tkachuk's still talking about, oh, we don't know if we're in control, or everyone's still, you know, against us. Like, they love having that chip and being the underdogs, and this was the first year you could take that away from them and say, no, y'all the champs, y'all the favorites. And right off the bat, everyone says, all right, you guys are dead. We're counting you out. They love that. That gets in the locker room. That fuels this team. So really shocked, really surprised. We'll see what happens here with the round two predictions. But, man, you think at that point an editor comes in and says, okay, a couple of you guys got to change your picks. This does not look right.
Is this path more difficult than last year's path? Because with the teams that, you know, they're going to have to play, and regardless of who wins, it just seems like this road is much more difficult than it was last year.
It depends. You go last year, and obviously, you know, Lightning round one, but then you got Boston round two, and Boston at the time, obviously, still kind of the boogeyman there for the Panthers, even though they beat him the year before. That's just such a tough physical out of a series. And then you got the President's Trophy winners, the Rangers, there in the Eastern Conference Final, and then you got the Oilers. Whereas this year, you got to go through either Toronto or, you know, Ottawa. We'll see what happens there. And then Carolina or Washington. Washington got the President's Trophy this year. I'd say there's less storylines, maybe. There's less personal rivalries here the rest of the way. But just deep teams, maybe not as highly skilled teams as last year, but just deep teams like the Panthers are, teams that love to forecheck. It might be just tougher physically now to get to the end than it was last year, maybe.
How much of a mistake do you think that hit was on Barkov, like, just to fuel their emotions of it? Because, like, I found, not like, I get in a series, teams don't want to seem like they're backing down to the Panthers. But, like, I threw so many profanities at my television, because you don't do that to Alexander Barkov. Like, he's like we said, he's like the sweet prince of hockey. He does everything the right way. And for somebody to take a cheap shot at him was crazy to me. So how do you feel like that did, not that they weren't going to win anyway, but just, do you feel like that just fueled the emotions even more of them?
Yeah, he's a former Lady Bing winner. He's the ultimate gentleman. You know, he helps sick kids. He's like the ultimate good guy in the NHL. It's like, it's the one guy you really don't do that to. And obviously, it's kind of the unwritten rules of hockey, but there are certain guys you can hit and certain guys you can't hit. And Barkey's a guy you just can't put a hit like that on. And you saw, honestly, good for the Panthers for not going too crazy in the moment, because that worked out for them. But you saw as the series went on, the Panthers just got nastier. They got meaner, and if you get into a nasty fight against the Panthers are going to win 9 times out of 10. They're built for that. So, I once again, just like with the predictions, I think the Lightning in a lot of ways kind of awoke the Panthers a bit and kind of played into the Panthers' hands with how they thought they'd handle the series. Because with how the Panthers have played the last couple of years, a lot of teams do go into matchups saying, you know, they're tough, they push us around, but we can do that too. Let's push them back. and it doesn't work out. You got to play your own game. You can't beat the Panthers at the Panthers game. So definitely set the tone for the rest of the series. Thankfully, Barkov's okay. But I think, you know, that's just, once again, just not a smart move. And of course, we saw all the different altercations that follow after that, which just, for the most part, played into the Panthers' hands because, like I said, that's their brand of hockey.
Once Ekblad finishes the suspension, he's got one more. But it was interesting because, like, you come in right away off the suspension. He has such a big impact in that crucial game four. What do you think it's going to mean when it kind of resets to normalcy of what he can do for them?
Oh, huge. He eats a ton of minutes. He's on the top, you know, penalty killing unit. You know, Seth Jones took his spot on the top power play for right now, but he can do that if called upon. And obviously things change throughout a long playoff run, but just an emotional leader, as you saw. You saw the fire he brought in that game, the physicality. You don't want anyone to get hurt, but just even just going and taking a big hit at Brandon Hagel, you know, the Panthers appreciate that. You know, it's defending the captain. Just went a bit too far there, but you love the physicality. You love what he brings, the emotion, a guy that's been there, a guy that's raised the cup over his head. And, you know, a guy that even if you, I don't know if you guys saw the puck video after game five, he's the guy handing out the puck. He's not even in the game. He's not suited up, but he's in that locker room giving the puck to Brad Marchand. So it's a tight group. Anytime a guy gets kicked out and brought back in, you know, they love it. It fires them up. So he's going to be huge getting him back in there. But quick shout out to Uvis Bolinskis, you know, for filling in when he was out. Panthers 3-0 on the road when he was in the lineup. So once again, depth. Depth is the word for the Cats. It just works out.
Jameis Nolib, go follow his work, FloridaPanthers.com. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Anytime.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take a break, play a little Goosies. No Goosies. That's next.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game.
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What did J.J. Redick do?
He's just a bum.
I mean, I think people are very arrogant and they take some jobs. And this is everywhere. This is not just coaching. They go in there with a type of arrogance and not realizing that they got some growth and there's some things they got to go through to be good at that job. And I think J.J. Redick has done that. He came in like, you know, not even acknowledging that, hey, this is something I got to learn. I got to figure things out and stuff like that. He just, no. So that's probably why we look at him that way. Or you anyway.
I didn't look at him in any way. All I said was he was unqualified for the job, and it's to stop treating him like he's going to be the next Pat Riley. Like,
woo, was treating him like he was going to be the next Pat Riley.
They literally wrote articles saying that, like right as soon as he got hired.
They literally did.
They literally did.
Yeah, that was very crazy.
See? All
right.
I'm not crazy. You think I make things up. See, this is one of the things that I don't appreciate about you. You think I make things up, but people, I'm just bringing what people are saying.
Let me just say this. You do make stuff up.
I don't make stuff up, dude.
You may not have made this up. You make stuff up, dude.
What do we got today, Marcos, for Goosies? No Goosies.
You make stuff up, dude.
I don't know. What was that?
Words.
I'll give you a pass. Your foot looks like it's going to fall off.
I can't even think right now. All right. First on our list of Goosies or no Goosies is our boy Bam Adebayo. He spoke after the season ended and discussed how he felt about our favorite rookie, the warehouse himself, Khalil Ware. This is Bam Adebayo.
I seen a kid that, you know, Spo didn't play in the beginning. He was begging him to play because he felt like he was a talent too. You know, at some point, he got his chance and he impacted when.
37 of them.
I'm proud of him. Obviously, he's going to keep developing. He's going to keep growing. He's going to keep being. He's going to keep wanting to be his best version of himself. And we expect him to do that. So, you know, seeing what I've seen outside, you know, not only out on that court, but also in the locker room, you know, how he's a great teammate. You know, he's willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the team. You know, I think, like I said before, I think he can be a great player in this league. You know, he can be one of the ones where we'll constantly be talking about every year of, you know, he could be in the contention of DPOY, judging because, you know, y'all have seen it. He'll at some point think a guy got a layup and then it's 4 feet in the stands, 4 rows in the stands. So understanding that he does have a talent and he can showcase it.
I got the goosies. I love it. Goosies. I think it's a nice mentorship thing to say. What would you think of him saying I was begging Spo to play him?
No comment.
So no goosies?
No comment. No, I got goosies with Bam said. I lost a little bit of
goosies
when he mentioned Spo. Having to beg Spo for somebody to play. Here.
Yeah, I just like the idea of Bam strolling down from the locker room to Spo's office. And he goes, hey, Spo, I noticed you put Haywood Highsmith back in the starting lineup today. What if, hear me out, we play the 7'1" kid tonight against the Hornets? Hit the bricks, Bam. All right, I'll coach the team. You go do you.
Hey, fine. I mean,
just a you thought. You know
what? I've told you this before. I don't need the respect of the coaches. I don't need the respect of the organization. But you can't perform without the respect of the other guys that you play with.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, right, sometimes a coach has to be obligated to do that because the team, if the team wants that, they'll make sure that they succeed because they want to be right. And you back them into a corner too.
Jennifer, goosies? No goosies?
Probably after that conversation, they sent him to the Yotes.
I got the goosies.
All right. I like it.
Hey, why goosies. Can't we have... Why we got to have intangible goosies?
I don't make the graphics.
I couldn't find any other graphics, so I apologize.
Okay.
I was just curious. She was a little hard on you today. You
I know.
So.
Wow.
She about bit my head off.
Oh, I'm sorry you were pulling my hair.
I did not pull your hair.
Yanked it.
Frog boy, goosies. No goosies for Bam's comments.
I will say goosies.
Goosies.
Although it did slightly piss me off that it seems like Eric Spoelstra was the only person in the entire world who didn't see that Khalil Ware could add value.
Eric Spoelstra is the only guy who treats his starting lineup like a bouncer. He's like IDing guys before they get in there. He goes,
especially if you're over 6'10".
Oh yeah.
Like it was like 6'9" or under team only.
Sure.
What else you got, Marcos, for goose? No goose.
Let's get back into the Heat's exit interviews. This time we will visit Tyler Hero. He had plenty of interesting statements, including where he stands on a potential contract extension. This is Boy Wonder.
You've been a good sport and handled like a pro everything. You've dealt with the trade rumors for the two summers, starting, coming off the bench, starting on the contract extension, which obviously there's that October 1st to 22nd window. Does it matter to you either way or under deal, under contract two more years anyway? Is that a big deal to you whether you get it in October?
Big deal. Not the biggest deal, but I mean, I would love to be here. The front office, the organization, I think the city, everyone knows how much I love Miami. I've been here since I was 18, 19. I got two kids here. So this is really home for me, you know, and I love being here. Basketball is why I'm here at the end of the day, and I want to win, and I know how badly this organization and the city wants to win. So I would love to be here, but we'll see what happens. If it doesn't get done, in October, I think we can get it done next summer. Just be a little bit higher of a price. So we'll see.
I wouldn't say
he kind of threw that out there.
I wouldn't say I got the goosies, but I like the answer. I like the confidence.
Hey, so you see what he did, right?
Yeah.
So he put him on notice. He's like, hey,
I will say,
if you don't do it this year, next year is going to cost you more.
It could cost him more because he could, like Wes told us, he could make all NBA. He could make, I mean, I don't think he's going to win MVP, but he's if he makes all NBA somehow, some way.
Oh, Smeathan.
Or, of course, Defensive Player of the Year.
How about not Defensive Player of the Year? How about a Defensive Player of the Year?
Schmeathen says no jokey jokes after 4 points, right, pal.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, you're not allowed to laugh.
Hey, he don't need to be Defensive Player of the Year, but I liked him be a defensive player, a participant.
I like the confidence. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But, yeah, I do think that if there were going to be any negotiations for that extension, it sounds very much like he's saying max extension or no extension. That's what that sounded like to me. So if the Heat said, you know, what if we do like a 300 extension?
Oh, no. He's why?
Like, oh, no, 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 no.
Because even now you could get, what, 40 a year? 45?
He's going to make like 50 a year. It'll bounce out to, it's like 3150, I think, is the extension.
Why would he sign for 300 then?
Why would he?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't sound like he is. I'm just saying.
No, but why would he? If the Heat, why would, see, to me, that's more insulting than not giving him an extension.
Because there's no negotiations anymore?
Because you know for a fact exactly what he's going to make. He knows what he's going to make. And if he knows and you go to him with
if you,
less than
let me ask
that,
you this. I guess this is what I would say. If Tyler Herro was a free agent, would somebody pay him $50 million a year?
No. So, wait.
A dumb team would do it.
No.
Someone's going to pay.
See, like think Brandon about this. Think about this. A team like Houston,
mm-hmm,
as bad as they need scoring. Now, it's rumored that KD's going to go there.
Yeah.
But as bad as they need scoring, would they do it? Yes.
Okay.
It's just they have no scoring.
I understand. But this has now become the thing in the NBA where it's like just because you draft a guy and he's a good player, he's an all-star player, you have to pay them the max.
But that's the way the league
is
going.
That is how it is, but I don't know if like that doesn't,
somebody's got to say no.
Now it's going to be one of those things where, right, like because you get so tied up into these two guys, and now I get it. Like if I'm Tyler and I'm like, well, you paid Bam sight unseen, like he got his money.
Bam is different.
I understand.
Bam
that's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to say. And so I'm saying, I'm wondering if the Heat, on all counts, is it just best? Let's see what this year happens. We'll see what happens.
I mean, they could do that. But the problem becomes that I've watched too many teams do that, either give the early extension or not give the extension, and it costs them the player in the long end. So what happened to the Dolphins and Christian Wilkins?
Yes, but also you've seen plenty of in the NBA of guys who get then stuck in regret with a contract that they're like, you know, would you think the Hornets would have given and maxed out LaMelo Ball?
Wait, how about Washington? With
oh, yeah. Oof. That's a great example.
They wanted so bad to have him on their team that they didn't realize they were winning 12, 13 games a year. They still going to give a guy a supermax. I don't know. I think to be honest with you, I think that the league should kind of do something to tweak that.
I agree.
Because
if it wasn't a question of like being tied up, like I would be like, hey, give Tyler Herro as much money as he's allowed to have.
I just think,
but
just
it's like
think
once you have two all-star players who aren't superstars, you're
right,
effed.
You shouldn't be stuck giving max contracts to guys. Like when I think of a max contract, I'm thinking Giannis, LeBron, Luka. You know what I mean? Anthony Edwards, right? Look at how many. If you take the name off of this guy, right, and I say you can offer him a contract based on what he's done, he's not getting a max contract, and that's Joel Embiid.
Ugh.
But they've been maxing him out since day one.
What else you got for Goosey? Goosey's? No Goosey's? Did you get the goosies? I didn't get the goosies, but I like the quote. I have no problem with the quote.
I don't have any problem with the quote, but it doesn't give me goosies because I'm almost terrified that in a year I'm going to be having, you know, we're going to be having this conversation every day.
No goosies.
Shin Goon looking like Cocaine Cowboys.
Is that Shin Goon?
Yeah.
He looks like Bad Bunny. Right?
Honestly.
He did.
Sometimes he misses a Bad Bunny.
But that dude looks skinny. Shin Goon's not that skinny.
Well, he probably doesn't look like that. Everybody, if you don't have a basketball jersey body, you can look bad, but you look fine. You know who that happened with me? Deion Waiters. Like, remember when Deion Waiters was getting fat shamed? And I walked in the locker room, I saw Deion Waiters shirtless. I killed it look like Deion Waiters. It's amazing. But yeah, basketball
jerseys. Everybody else is so damn skinny.
Basketball jerseys are not flattering to some. Jennifer, goosies, no goosies for Tyler Hero?
No goosies.
Wow. All right.
No goosies.
Were you agreeing with Dade South's comments? Is that why?
Say Leroy wants a tax bracket on player stats.
The only max Tyler should get is max leg room in first class on a plane out of here.
Wow, you said that?
I did not say that.
Wow, Jennifer!
It was on the screen.
Wow.
That was not me.
That's not how it's going to come across on the audio.
Here's the problem. The problem with all of this is... Is that when you play on a team...
Do you want your other leg?
When you play on a team that just got shellacked, or you play on a team that's had problems, they immediately go to Tyler and talk about him scoring 4 points, right? And I would say, like, go look around the league, man. They're not scoring 25 every single night.
Tough it's weekend for the down. Intangibles.
Right. Ooh. Man, let me tell you something. Even half intangibles was terrible for the Lakers.
The only intangible who had a good week was Max Strus. That's it.
And that's because he played the non-defensive intangible here.
Had a bad elimination game.
Did you, what do you got for Tyler? You got the Goosey's Frog Boy?
No, I agree with you. I like the quote. I like the way that he's honest about it, but I wouldn't say it's
not Goosey's. Yeah.
No Goosey's.
What do you got for number three?
Number three, not sure if you guys saw this yesterday, but following the collapse of the Lakers yesterday, Hornets center Mark Williams tweeted a smile. And then if you guys are familiar with the name, this is the Lakers center, or almost a Lakers center, before they lemon-lawed his trade from the Hornets.
Yeah.
Sent him back.
How low you got to feel? And you fly all the way across the world, and they go,
Sorry.
Lemon law.
I got the Goosies. I love a good petty tweet.
Yeah.
I love a good petty tweet. That would be exactly my reaction.
Could have used a center yesterday.
They could have used a center yesterday.
No, he had a center. They didn't play him.
Well, I mean, come on, dude.
By the way, Dalton Connect didn't do anything.
Didn't play him. Remember when the Heat were idiots for not drafting Dalton Connect for two days? Oh, you guys drafted Khalil Ware. You guys should have taken another intangible shooter. It's just what we need.
Yeah.
You got the Goosies from the petty tweet?
Yeah, I like the petty, but I like it for different reasons. I like it because they lemon lawed him, and he's the only one playing basketball.
Yep.
That's funny.
Jennifer?
Petty always wins.
Goosies. Froggy?
Well, I'm going to say Goosies galore.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Give us one more there, Frog Boy.
All right. This was the day my wife was desperate to have our child on because she was desperately trying to avoid having a Cinco de Mayo baby. But fortunately, it didn't work out. But I want your opinion on this specific day. Sunday, May the 4th be with you, as it is Star Wars Day. Does Star Wars Day give you goosies or no goosies?
Watch yourself.
Oh, what do you mean watch myself?
Wow, we got a fan.
Be careful. Tread lightly.
Spicy.
About to get spicy.
No goosies, I gotta tell you. I have nothing against Star Wars. It's a perfectly fine brand, but it ain't Rocky. I mean, Rocky's a way better series than Star Wars.
Sexy sauce. What the hell? The old love Star Wars. The best Star Wars movies are the new ones.
Oh, wow.
We did go see the final one, I remember. And I didn't see the other two before that. We just all went as a show.
Yeah.
When it was with Robbie and Beast, we went to see the final Star Wars. I was very confused.
Yeah. But did you like what you saw?
Star Wars is very cool looking. Like, yeah. It's obviously, it's pleasing to the eye. And I did like Mandalorian. I was a fan of Mandalorian. Although I didn't watch the last season.
There's another one, Andover.
I haven't watched any of that stuff.
I haven't watched any of it either.
Wow. But my son is gearing up now because he was like, why is there all this Star Wars stuff? You know?
Uh-oh.
He's very into series now. Like,
Tommy does a lot of research. Like,
he does a lot of research.
Goes through everything.
He's like, we watched all the Godzillas.
Which is crazy.
Now, how you feel about Star Wars?
He's a cool kid.
Enough with Godzilla.
What?
Listen. When did all of the beasts of the world have an MMA card? He's fought everybody. Him and King Kong were friends. They tag teamed and fought these other two people when they were beating the brakes off each other two movies ago.
They're destroying cities just for a pure movie entertainment.
They're getting ready for that silver
bullet. Godzilla just mind his own business. All the people are thanking Godzilla for saving our city. And this creature, who I don't even know the name of, with seven heads, pops up on...
Oh.
How are all these creatures just living in the water?
It's a big ocean.
It's a big place.
What the hell?
I think that's where they sleep. They have to wake them up with nukes, too, don't they?
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, something gets blown. Ooh, no. So, no. Listen, Star Wars, if you watch Godzilla... You could kick rocks.
What?
Star Wars, at least has a plot. The bad guy and the good guy can talk, right? That's it. You watch a movie with that, and then the other one with the seven heads. They spit fire in the mysterious...
Well, the people are talking. The
Godzilla, mysteriously, from one movie, first he was spitting fire.
The next movie,
he was spitting blue fire. What happened? Did he collect enough rings underwater that now he can spit blue fire?
How do they communicate?
Huh?
How do they communicate?
It's like, I'm going to kick your ass. Bring it on. Your arms are too short. Look at how long my legs are. Like, it's dumb. And then all of a sudden, King Kong, who was in the jungle, all of a sudden made it all the way to Japan to fight Godzilla.
They needed a foe.
It's so... No!
By the way, he's a 9-year-old. He just likes monsters.
No. Okay. Star Wars. There's a bunch of creatures in there.
I was saying this, by the way, to say, because he's gearing up to tell me to watch all the Star Wars with him. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Maybe you'll have a new appreciation for it.
Listen, at least they're in English. I'm not going to read the entire movie.
He wouldn't watch a movie without electricity. Yeah, that COVID break got me messed up, right? But no.
All
right,
so
under no circumstances am I watching a Godzilla movie.
All right, so I assume you have Goosies for Star Wars Day?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
How do you not like Star Wars Day?
I didn't say I didn't like it. Start with the Goosies.
Really? Now perfectly Goosies for Godzilla?
Rocky.
So you dress up for Star Wars Day for the Panthers?
Rocky.
Ooh. Rocky's way better than
Is that Godzilla still, or is that Rocky?
Hold on, wait.
Maybe they don't like you. That acting is just phenomenal, right?
It is phenomenal.
No, it's not.
It's great.
No, it's not.
Can't tell the difference between your Rocky and Godzilla.
Me neither, because Rocky can't act.
Don't say that.
It's You're the only insulting his whole
Hold
being
on.
Right now.
I love Rocky.
Yeah.
But it's the only movie in the world where they try to make a 5'8 guy the same size as a 6'5 guy.
Okay. He's not 5'8 and he attacked the body.
He attacked the body.
He attacked the body. Right.
Do you want what we have?
I don't need to call Antonio Tarver. I know you've already called Antonio Tarver about this.
Yeah. Nah, you'd be like, okay. And then furthermore,
he won the Cold War first.
Hey, no. Furthermore, a silverback gorilla is short.
Mm-hmm.
King Kong, so he's going to be the shortest. How of a sudden did he become the same height as Godzilla when they were fighting?
Nukes.
Yeah. I got a question.
Nukes
about blew him
bigger?
Yeah, the radiation. That's how they get bigger.
Oh my God. Do you understand?
Radiation.
How? Like, yeah.
Plutonium.
You're making fun of this when you root for a little green thing that says, I talk backwards. Backwards talk I do.
Watch yourself. Let me tell you something. There is nothing cooler than playing with lightsabers. Me and Fonz, remember when they came out with the lightsabers? Oh my goodness. We were in the front yard in the dark. Wait till it gets dark so we could be out there looking cool with our lightsabers. Oh my God, really? Man. What you do with Godzilla and King Kong? What's the cool toy?
The action figures. He gets to go.
That's not an action figure. You have to move it.
Or you press the button, they're like.
Yeah. A little record. That's it.
We got to take a break. Final hour coming on up. Back after this.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.